We all have testimonies. I hope we know that. And I mean, like, if you're like me, I've come to the point where I'm like, well, my testimony's boring. And I still think it is. However, even my testimony has proven to be extremely powerful because there's no challenging what God has done in one's life when one has lived it. You hear that? There's no challenging of what God has done in one's life when it comes from a life that has lived that very thing. So I just want to remember how powerful that is. And as Jonathan speaks today, I want to be able to all relate to him in some way, because this is a story just like everyone else's in this room, I'd imagine, that speaks of redemption. And in my opinion, the limitless power of God, his infinite reach, the endless bounds of his goodness, his grace, and his mercy, and his ability to pick up even the most, like the furthest or the deepest fallen ones from the ground, if that makes sense. So as Jonathan speaks, I want you to open your hearts because he's got an amazing story. We've asked him to share it. And so, and by the way, just think about your own because we're going to have kind of a series of testimonies, like it's going to happen here and there. I think we've all, you know, as leadership, we've decided what a powerful thing. And there are so many amazing people in this room with testimonies. So get ready because we might approach you. Get ready to share it, okay? don't be afraid of it. Don't worry. But I mean, yeah, we will ask you to share it. So anyway, without further ado, I welcome Jonathan to you.
Brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Evan. Hi, church. As you know, my name is Jonathan. It's definitely a privilege to speak today. It's really an honor. And I don't speak that lightly. I believe that anyone that speaks the word of God is held to a higher accountable. So God has done amazing things in my life. And I just want to pray. Lord, Father, I just thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be here today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we'd all be in the same spirit today. I just pray, Lord, Father, you speak through me. Lord, Father, it would not be Jonathan speaking, but it would be you, Lord God, and the Holy Spirit speak through me. Lord, Father, we just pray, Lord, bless this day, bless these people. Lord, Father, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So I was asked to speak on my testimony, and I was praying and meditating throughout the week, asking the Lord what direction he really wanted me to take, at work, I sometimes put my AirPods in and I'll just be working and, you know, listen to the Word of God or worship music. And it happened that day I was listening to Bill Johnson, amazing, mighty man of God. And so it happened that day when I was really seeking what the Lord wanted me to speak on was testimony, which is awesome, right? So, the scriptures that the Lord was really leading me to was Revelation 19:10. And it says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I'm a fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I was really like meditating on that, like, wow, okay, that speaks a lot, if we really get into it. The words and purpose of testimony and prophecy is actually powerful. What is a testimony or its purpose? It is a spoken or written record what God has done in people's lives, and he continues to do so. How God changed a situation in a person's life. Prophecy is for foretelling the future, to change a present situation into reality. That is prophecy. Amen. And I have this, I'll tell you more about it later, but I when I became a Christian, I really wanted information. I love, in my background, I was a special needs kid. I had really bad learning disabilities. I still struggle to this day, like different words. I'm still learning. I hated books. I couldn't learn. I was in special needs classes. It was not very fun to be that kid, right? But man, I just love words. I love it, and God's put that in my heart. And so I purchased a book. It's called, it's a 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language by Noel Webster. And I was looking at the words, and I love looking up words in there, and it says testimony, a Solomon declaration or affirmation made for the purpose of establishing or proving a fact, right? Prophecy, foretelling, predicting, declaration of something to come, right? So what are we declaring, predicting, affirming? We are able to speak on God's behalf. That's so important to understand that. God has given us that power to do so as his children. We come in agreement to change a situation, affirming something or declaring or predicting, right? So what is our fact? Our fact is Jesus Christ. That's our fact. The Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, lives in us. The power we have, the Holy Spirit, working in us and through us, individually or corporately. As a church, we come to church to steer the presence of God, right? And so when we, as people, receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, they speak of the gospel, a testimony, right? We all have a testimony, and it's amazing. A total heart conversion. They speak on how the Almighty God changed their life. I'm just building this up. So God has given how God has moved in our life, right, in some way or another. Honestly, Evan, you talk about how boring you say that your testimony is. Man, I think that's amazing. I really do. I would love to, like, I have a different situation, but man, how amazing I think that people actually grow up, like, with amazing Christian family or things like that. I'm like, man, that's so blessed. Like, you see people, like, in the ministry where their grandpa was a minister, their dad was a minister, and then just how God just continues to train them in that. I love that. But that's our testimony as Christians. Amen. Jesus Christ, in the same way, in any way, can bring Jesus into this hurting and falling world, right? And this world so desperately needs a Savior, personally, right? Praise God that we get the opportunity as Christians, the honor to give them to him, like give him to them, be like, here's Jesus in some way, right? We all speak to people that others can't relate to, right? Like I can speak to people that I can, and each of you can speak to a person that I can't, right? That's what the whole point of the body of Christ is. And so I just feel like as Christians, we need to share the gospel. We need to share him in some way or in any way, really. It's something, the question that I was arising when I was, you know, meditating on this is like, when is the last time that we spoke to a stranger about Jesus? I can honestly tell you that I went 36 years before someone told me Jesus loved me. 36 years of my life before someone actually told me Jesus loves you. And I think that's, now being a Christian, I think that's so wrong. So wrong that somebody could go their whole life and no one in the church could tell somebody, hey, Jesus loves you, right? And Romans 2:11 says, for there is no particularity with God, right? And I love scripture, and scripture always backs up scripture. Job 34:19, who shows no particularity to princes, nor regards to rich above the poor, for they are all the work of his hands, right? Everyone needs a Savior, rich or poor. We all need Jesus. Acts 15:9, he made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by faith. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can honestly tell you, God does not waste anyone, no one. He wants everyone to be saved. He loves his children. And we're praying this morning, and I love getting that confirmation, right? And both of you were like speaking some similar things that I had in here, and I was just making me giggle inside. But John 3:16, everybody knows, right? But I really love John 3:17. It's probably the most, I don't know, it's really close to my heart. It says, "For God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And I think that's huge because, look, because of my past, which I'm going to share in a moment, but we're not here to condemn the world. We're not at all. We should be looking at each other with love and grace and mercy as Jesus did. If Jesus came here not to condemn the world, man, as a body of Christ shouldn't do the same thing, right? We should be like, one of my brothers who's a pastor, we always say we're lifting each other up on our shoulders, right? And that's what, as a body of Christ, we should be doing, right? What the Lord has radically done in my life, this raging fire that he's put in me, is available to everyone. Everyone can have a raging fire for the gospel. We should. And like we were praying this morning, it's like what the God has really put on my heart. Like, man, we get to serve God. Like, really think about that. God, like God created everything, created you, me, this world, the stars. He loves us. And he's like, "Evan, I love you, man. I want to be in you, and I want to do amazing things through you." And that's what he speaks on everyone. He wants everyone to understand and fathom that he's holding nothing back, and he loves everyone, right? Honestly, if God can change my life, he can change anyone's life. I can say he showed me that he doesn't waste anything. He saved a wretched man, Jonathan. Honestly, my story is pretty extreme, to be honest. I grew up in a military family. We didn't really have a easy upbringing. My dad was very he just wasn't very nice to us as kids, you know. So I was molested as a child. It was very hard for me. And so I was always searching for, you know, someone to actually love me, you know. My mom was, you know, she grew up, she was bipolar. So I moved out when I was like 16. I just couldn't take it. So I left, started working, left school. And I don't know, I was just searching for love. And I found somebody, honestly, that was exactly like my mom. And we got married young. I had my daughter when I was 22. And I was divorced by I was 29 because she had continued to cheat on me. So I just couldn't take it. 29 years old, single again, felt like I lost all my party years. I'm just going to party. You know, I was making great money in California, like a lot of money. But it all went to drugs, to be honest. I was doing meth and heroin. You know, started out by drinking, but I was in it like really, really bad. And so even when I was 8 years old, I started drinking. It was just normal in my family. Like, and I saw something by what's his name, Francis Chan. He's an amazing guy, and he said, what did he say? He said something like the fact that if it makes you feel good, that is something that is of Satan, right? And that's how my family was. Like, if it makes you feel good, whatever. Do whatever you want. You know, it's fine. Just pay your bills and work. It's cool. That's how it was for me, right? So, 29 years old, totally in it, and drugs, like bad, like really, really bad. And I was like a functional drug addict. You know, I worked really, really hard, partied even harder. You know, I lived in California, in Orange County, rich area. But man, I was doing drugs. I was doing bad things. Really bad things. And everything that goes along with drugs. I lost everything because of drugs. And my family had moved back out here in California, and so I actually spent a weekend in jail, and I lost my job and everything. It was actually the owner that actually put me in jail because he found my drugs in the warehouse. So what did I do? Well, I had a big old 401k. I'm like, well, hey, right when I got out of jail, my friend picked me up. What did he do? He handed me drugs, right? Just started again. I bought a big old 8-ball of drugs. I'm like, well, I'm going to Colorado. I might as well party it up, right? Came out to Colorado and about 2 weeks, had enough drugs, but then it went out. I didn't know anyone out here. And I was sitting in my dad's basement going through it. It's horrible when you're coming off heroin and meth. It's crazy. It took me 6 months, literally shaking, couldn't sleep, wanted to sleep. Just 6 months just going through it. It was rough. Started working again, working for this gentleman. Leave his name out of it, but I started working for this man, and I was his only employee here in Denver, and I was doing carpet cleaning, and what really helped me, interesting, is Colorado actually had medical marijuana, right? So that's what my family did for me, you know? And it helped, honestly, because, you know, I was able to sleep, you know? But it was like, I'm getting sober by worldly standards, right? And so I started working with this guy. Well, he found out as an owner that I was actually had, you know, this certificate to, you know, get marijuana. So he liked it, honestly, as an owner. Started, hooking this guy up, and, you know, we started hanging out a little bit. One night, November 27th, 2011, it was a day off. He wanted to work, so went to the warehouse in Aurora and worked all day with this guy. And I went to his house after work, and we, I smoked him out, you know, and I ended up passing out in the sofa. All I remember is it was dark. That's all I remember, like, when I woke up. And at the time, I had a crazy bad wisdom tooth. And so I was taking a lot of ibuprofen. I just had to bear with the pain. But anyway, he wanted me to go to the bar with him. And I honestly, I was not a Christian. I was a really worldly guy, okay? I'm like a prodigal of my dad, you know? Chasing women, drinking, all of that goes along with that, okay? So here's this guy who wants to go to the bar, and he's newly divorced, and I'm just like, something in me was like, no, right? Try to talk him out of it, like wanting to go. Finally, he talks me into it. He's saying, I'll drive, okay? No worries, I'll drive. You leave your truck at my house, hop in my car, everything's cool. I'll figure it out. Like, we'll even get a taxi. I'm like, all right, well, that sounds like a plan, whatever. I'll just end up going. He's the owner of the company. Like, what could really go wrong? Right? So we go to the bar and start drinking. Next thing you know, my favorite drink at the time was Double Jack and Cokes. Just started taking them in. I remember went to go smoke a cigarette, hit the back door, ka-choosh, blacked out. Total blackout. Woke up, I was in the emergency room, and they were frantically working on me. And they said that I was in a major car crash, and everyone got hurt, and someone lost their life. I'm just like, what? And they were saying, you were driving. All I remember is, no, I was like yelling at the top of my lungs, no, I wasn't driving. Scott, this man was driving. I wasn't driving. And she's like, well, just take your blood alcohol. And, you know, I just remember she was like, I don't know, maybe it's just like amplified, but it's just like a, you know, she looked like a mom, but she's like a sheriff or something. And bam, back out again. Woke up in ICU. Tubes and wires all over me. And I had casts almost up to my knees. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, seriously, what happened? Like, I had no idea. No idea what happened. And next thing you know, my family comes and they start telling me that we'd been in a major car crash, and that this young woman had lost her life. And I've always been a sensitive guy, honestly. And I just like totally got inverted, you know. I didn't know what to think or do. I was totally scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know if they're going to take me right then and there. I had no idea. So I'm in ICU for a week. And one day, a chaplain came and talked to me. And he came in. He said, I heard you wanted to pray. I'm like, well, yeah, let's pray. I broke down on this man. I'm just like all on him, snot, and just crying all over this guy. A total repentant, you know. And he blessed me, really. A couple days later, he prayed with me again before I left. So what happened was that we left a certain particular place, and I've always been the extremist, okay? Everything, always doing the extreme. You get me in a car, I'm maxing it out. I remember one time I was driving my friend's BMW down I-6 to the I-25 doing 160 miles an hour. This is me in 5 o'clock traffic. I didn't care, you know? Put me on a motorcycle, I'm maxing, just me. So it made sense to me that they told us that we are doing 90 miles an hour down Havana in Iliff. It just made sense to me because I've always been that guy. And we hit her car. Well, she lost her life. And it was really, really hard for me. I went home, I was in a wheelchair for months. I had to learn how to walk again, literally had to learn how to walk again. And through all that, learning how to walk again, trying to go through all that healing, I'm going through court issues. I had two lawyers, one for civil and the other one for civil and criminal. Yeah, civil and criminal. So I had two lawyers, crazy. I went through that for 8 months, right? I had to go to court every month. It was rough because you don't know if you're just going right then and there. And you know, my other things happened. It was a huge process, honestly. But an interesting thing is, okay, I have never been a Christian, never been a godly man. I didn't even know Jesus, honestly. I grew up in a Catholic family, right? My dad still to this day thinks that. I believe, right? And now he sees me now, right? He says, well, I believe, I pray. And I'm like, do you understand what's going on, right? But we used to be that family, go to, you know, Mass on Christmas, Easter. So I didn't even know Jesus. But all I knew is as I'm there in a wheelchair at home, still smoking cigarettes, having to go outside to pray. How did that happen? And that goes back to that chaplain. That's all I can think is going back to that chaplain, right? And so I'm praying. 8 months later, so this is like July, I go to sentencing. And it was rough. I was a mess, really a mess. We had my family, her family. And all I remember is I'm sitting there and the judge is just going through it, right? They're all going through the process and I'm just a mess. I couldn't stop crying. And I remember looking over at her mom and her aunt, right? And they're just crying too. Everyone's crying. And she just kept saying, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, child, bless you, child. And they let me speak to her, and I spoke to her, and I just said, look, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I don't really understand what happened. I don't remember what happened. I still don't to this day. I'm so sorry. And boom, took me to jail. And so it was pretty rough, to be honest. I had officers come to me in my cell and say some wild, crazy things to me, open my door and scream at me, and then close the door. I'm just like, what is going on? This is crazy, right? I don't even know what happened. Anyway, you have to go through this whole process. I get to prison, and it was Crowley. Crowley is like a medium prison, okay? It's not the worst of worst, but it's not the easiest. And went to Crowley, got there, and as a person that's never, I mean, I spent, a night or two in jail, but, I mean, that was cake. I mean, compared to, you get to prison, and you're like, whoa, this is nuts, right? And they put me in, it's called a gang pod. Because of the severity of my crime, they were putting me, like, with, you know, like, basically the worst of worst, right? And so, but God blessed me. God was with me, like, through the whole process. I can see, like, certain people in certain situations that people were with me. Got to this gang pod, and of course they come, and if you're white, then basically you, they all take care of their own, okay? It's like they have their own laws in there, okay? I'm just trying to paint a picture what I had kind of go through. And so I get there, and you just, you know, with your stuff, and you're just going in there, and you're trying to figure it all out, this one night, this gentleman came into my room. He said, "Hey, man, I see that you're a good guy, and they're going to come and check you, man." And I'm like, what does that even mean? Really, you know? But he said, "Yeah, man, they're going to come and check you out, man. They want to see your paperwork and stuff." And that's how it is in prison, you know? They want to see what your crime was. And if they, in prison, if you are like, you know, did something bad with a child or something like that, then you are like deemed like a red flag on you, and they will charge you rent and stuff like that. But so anyway, they came in and they got me when I was sleeping, actually. It was, you know, surprising, right? But anyway, through all that process, I ended up, they did all that. I had to go to a case manager and get my paperwork. It was a mess. And a couple days later, they came back in. But, man, I was angry. I was just had enough of it, you know. And I was really honestly willing to just fight right then and there for my life, honestly. And that's what it really almost comes down to. And so there was a lot of exchanging words. And I wasn't backing down. One guy was actually shaking, because there's four of them came into my cell, and I'm like, okay, you're first. In my mind, right? Because I'm thinking in my mind, if they hurt my feet, okay? Like, if I took my shoes off right now, you'd see my feet are deformed because of the car crash. I'm like, in my mind, if they hurt me, my feet-wise, I'll never walk again. Like, that's how what I was thinking. So I'm like in protective mode. Anyway, long story short, it all passes over, and I got the paperwork that I needed. And I go to the guy, the main guy, and you know, like the gang leader, in front of the whole pod, and I just slap the paperwork on the table. Bam! There you go. You want it? Have it. And he's like, no, not here. So after that, I get these two slips, okay? One to work in the kitchen. Everybody has to go to the kitchen, okay, to work. Another one was for a faith pod. Right? And I'm faith pod, like, but I didn't know what that meant. I didn't understand any of that. But all these guys that now want to be my friend, and I'm just like, I don't want anything to do with you. They're telling me not to go to this faith pod because that's where all, like, you know, as they deem bad people as far as doing bad things to children or whatever, go, like, to go hide out. I'm just like, I don't know, like something's drawn me. I go to the kitchen and the interview or whatever you have to have. This guy comes to me and tells me how amazing this interview was for this faith pod. I'm like, oh, I'll just go check it out. I go check it out. I break down on this guy, like the teacher, and I tell him everything that had happened with the car crash and everything like that, right? They instantly accepted me into the program. These are all steps that God is just boom, 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 right? Bam, 2 days later, I'm into this program. So that was July. By September, I'm seeing like all these Christians like really like wanting God, like wanting to have Jesus in their life, right? And I'm like, wow, this is amazing, right? So I go to a table. They have these big silver tables in the faith pods, and I go to the table by myself. No one told me any salvation prayer, honestly. You know, I didn't know. I just, all I knew is I sat at this table and I said, Lord, look where I am. 36 years of my life, and look where I ended up. I said, Lord, if you're real, and this is all real that I see, I surrender my life to you. I literally just put, I just want like that hand motion, everything into you. Everything that I am is you now. I surrender my life to you. And by that time, my life radically changed. I fasted 3 days through that program, this Bill Institute of, man, I can't remember, sorry. Anyway, this year-long program, I ended up within a couple months being a parapro. Now I'm totally loving the Bible. I got my own Bible, and I was like, whoa, I can actually read this and understand it. This is amazing. And so I'm reading, and I'm borrowing books from everyone, strong concordances, and just all this stuff. Just feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And I'm, you know, I'm starting to teach other guys behind me. You know, it's just, man, God was moving. I stayed there a year and a half, and I actually got to speak in front of 70 inmates. And I got to tell you, it's something you got to like think in your mind, like, I got to be somewhat neutral because, you know, this is prison, you know, right? But man, God was moving mighty in my life, right? He moves me to different prisons, and, you know, God keeps just blessing me and blessing me. I end up at Delta, which is like a minimum prison, right? It's amazing there. And they have a Kairos. Any of you that could do Kairos, please do it. Man, it's awesome. And I'm there, and they, all the churches in that area, okay, Montrose, Grand Junction, Delta, they all gather together, and they built a $1 million church on campus. It was amazing. I'm going to Delta, and I wanted to go to Golden, right? Because I want to be with my family, but God had different plans. I by this point, I had an amazing relationship with the Lord, okay? Every day. God had placed, took me out of the world, said, you're here, and it's all about me. And it was awesome. I was studying the scriptures every day. I was doing multiple Bible studies through the mail, which one, even today, I'm still doing. And I'm up to like 80 credits as a college courses. And I keep praying. I'm like, Lord, I'm so busy right now. I'm like, when is this study going to end, you know? But it's the glory of God. But I was doing amazing Bible studies and just more and more classes, more this, more that, Christian grace-based parenting classes. We studied the whole Old Testament. We studied the whole New Testament. By the time I left, I had 28 certificates of all the classes that I took. God was moving. I have them. You can have them. It's amazing. God was moving, right? I got baptized in prison. I waited and waited. And I was like, Lord, I want to be baptized. I really, but it's, do I wait until I get out? But no, I got baptized at Delta. It was beautiful. We had our own stage. We had our own band. It was amazing. And check this out. So I'm going to Delta, and I'm like, Lord, why am I here? Where are you sending me? Within a week, I knew why I was there. I got a gate pass where I was working outside the prison. Then a few days later, through the church, I applied for the choir, and I got granted that. Amazing. Only like, okay, there's 22,000 inmates in the state of Colorado, okay? Only nine at one point, but generally seven, had this particular gate pass to be a part of the choir. It was amazing. Mrs. K and her husband were awesome. We actually were allowed to travel to different churches and sing the gospel. And we were treated like rock stars. It was so amazing, right? I'm a guy that never knew Jesus, but now I do know him. I'm traveling to different churches, and people are really loving us. Like, literally loving us. I'm in green, all green, and they're like, I love you. Right? It was amazing. They're feeding, a great part, they're feeding us amazing food, and we're like, oh, you know? It was awesome. And so, man, for 2 years, and a funny thing, I remember Miss Kay, the second year, was like, you know, Jonathan, last year your voice was kind of crude, but I got to tell you, man, you're really just starting to spring up this year. I'm like, is that a compliment? Honestly, right? I'm like, but it was just awesome. I loved it, man. And so I remember traveling. I had my own little pocket Bible, you know, one of those things you're not allowed to do. But I thought, man, for the glory of God, I'm going to read my Bible while we're traveling. I just left it in the van. But anyway, so I'm here at Delta, and I was all about the Word, okay? Word, 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 okay? Studying the Word, and this is by this point been probably 2.5 years studying Scripture every day, like all crazy, just wanting to learn the gospel, okay? So 2.5 years by this point studying Scripture. And you got to understand, like, we didn't have worldly distractions. Yeah, we had a TV and things like that, but we didn't have distractions. Like, oh, I got to go do this, or I got to go do that. No, it's just wake up in the morning, praying, reading 3 chapters of Scriptures a day, doing Bible studies, reading Scripture at night, like, in it, okay? I move in with my best friend, Antonio, who is from Mexico. He is, you know, drug issue also. And so our friend Miguel left, okay? He got to go home. So I'm just like, I'm moving in with Antonio. Like, you know, he's my friend. Like, we're going to do this, right? So I had been there a long time, and all the officers knew me, okay? So when you're in prison, they know you. Nothing is hidden, okay? They know what you're all about. I've had, like, literal gang members that, like, you would be scared to talk to in the daytime come to me and, like, really talk to me because they knew I was real, right? And I've had one gang member said, you know what? You know what a real man is? And he's, like, a guy that holds keys, okay? He's got all these young guys under him. He said, you know what a real man is? And I'm like, what's that, man? He said, a man that goes home and takes care of his family. That's a real man. It's so true, right? And I move in with Antonio, and he's all about the Holy Spirit. So now I'm like, wow, this is so good, right? Because I've been all about the Word, right? So he starts teaching me more the spiritual realm. And the Lord puts it on his heart to anoint me. And he anointed me. Obviously, we don't have the things we do in the outward, you know, the out here, right? But the Lord put it on his heart for me to get on my knees and to him to anoint me like a knight, like a king does a knight. And so he anointed me. He was teaching me true worship, okay? You want to be unlocking things in your life like visions, prophecy, really getting into like the heart of God and getting into that communion is true worship. And true worship is getting on your knees, right? And just praying. Not asking God for anything. Just thanking him. Like, Lord, I love you. I worship you. I adore you. Lord, I bow my knees to you, to the one true God, right? Just worship him. When we do that, that's true worship, okay? When you do that, it unlocks the whole kingdom of God, to be honest. I heard this minister. He's a wild minister. I saw him for the first time because I was all about, you know, all about the kingdom. I was watching TBN one day, and I saw this man with dreadlocks. And he said, He said, man, you know true worship? He said, I started worshiping God for an hour, and that's when I started getting visions and prophecy and things like that. I said, I want that. If that's available to you, then it's available to me, and I want it. I want everything that's available to me. So I did. I started worshiping. God was giving me amazing visions, prophecy, prophetic dreams. God was even showing me, as I'm worshiping him, I would see I remember one time I saw this woman running from this man. And I'm like, Lord, what's that? He said, pray for her right now. So I just prayed for her, right? God will use us to pray for somebody that's the other side of the world, running from somebody. God will. He needs our prayers. He needs our voice. Because we are his ambassadors. Amen. So, man, it was amazing. And I remember, it was so awesome. So I would wake up before Antonio. I'd be reading scripture because I had to go to work outside the prison, which is amazing. I still know Les. He was a cop for many years, and him and I just hit it off. It was awesome. He was a Christian, and I still talk. I have his number. But I would come home, take a nap, be listening to like Charles Stanley or somebody while I'm sleeping. Wake up, do Bible studies, read scripture. We'd be praying, worshiping. While I'm at work, Antonio's doing the same thing, right? I remember one time I had this, I was like, I think I was coming out of the bathroom, and this guy, he's like a burly guy, totally not a Christian, okay? He's like walking by, he walks by our door, right? And he goes, whoa, I can feel God in there. Yeah. Right? That's, and I was like, yes! We had our room was like we're a prayer room. Honestly, officers would come in. We're only supposed to have, four people in a room at a time, but we'd have seven and we'd just be praying. When we were praying, I saw an angel. It was huge in our room. Amazing presence of God, right? So my idea of the church was love. I was involved in Kairos, which was amazing. And Kairos is amazing because what it is all different churches, okay? Baptist, Catholic, whatever, okay? All these different denominations come to the prison and they leave all their theology out the door. They come in and they share Jesus. So amazing, right? And I think, why can't we be that way now? Why not? Why do we have to have all this crazy theology? There's only one that his name is Jesus. Literally. So I came out of prison, and that's the image I have of the church, okay? I'm excited. I'm like, I'm going to be sharing my testimony. Because honestly, think about it. Everyone in this room or who's watching or whatever, think about it. Everyone has, as it were, a black sheep in the family. I was that guy, right? We all do. Oh, Uncle Jonathan. Whew. Yeah, he's doing his thing, right? We all have that. Right? Or a child, somebody in our family that just I don't know, he's doing his thing, or he's wild, right? But God, if God can do that in my life, he can do it in anyone's life, right? I came out of prison, I was so excited to share the gospel and share what God had done in my life, that when I went to a church and actually shared my story, people were like, oh, nice, God bless you. And I'm like, wait, I don't understand, right? And this is a big church. So I was judged for my past. When honestly, I wanted to rejoice in what God had done in my life. And when I really was putting this together for this week, I was thinking wow, Lord, you saved a wretched man like me, and now using me in mighty ways, okay? As you now know my story, you know what God is doing in my life now? 3.5 years ago, I was in my bed, couldn't sleep. The Holy Spirit does that sometimes, and I'm like, please, Lord, I got to go to sleep. And he spoke to me about a nonprofit. And I was like, man, that would be amazing, right? I can tell you, within a month ago, it started manifesting. And now God has opened up the door for me to actually be the president of Unlimited International Ministry of Christ. I've been working with lawyers and CPAs, and it's just, it's a lot. I got to learn accounting now. It's like, we have the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach me. Right? But I was thinking about this, right? And in no way am I like comparing myself to the people in the Bible, okay? They're like amazing patriarchs in the Bible, okay? But how many of you love amazing stories, what God does? All of us do, right? We all love those stories. We want it. Like, it feeds us, right? When we hear something amazing God does, man, it really like jumpstarts your spirit, doesn't it? It gets you excited. So I was thinking about that. Look at, okay, Moses, a guy, just a normal guy. You can imagine just a guy just mind his own business, you know, and God says, you're going to be father of all nations. Okay. You want me to go over here? All right. Moses. Moses kind of speaks to me, as I'm sure he does with you. I, you know, having learning disabilities and still learning how to pronounce words and stuff. Moses, God says, I'm going to use you in mighty ways, and I want you to go save my people. Moses is like, no, I can't even speak. Like, no, right? But he does, and he does amazing things, right? And then the other one I thought of, Ruth. Ruth was amazing, right? She was like a daughter-in-law to a woman. And Naomi, like, served God. And Ruth was like, I don't know where you're going, but I'm going with you. I don't know who your God is, but I'm going to serve him too. Right? That's amazing faith. And then she ends up becoming in the line of Jesus. In the line of Jesus. Read Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. It's amazing what God does in people's lives. Like Esther, God used her in mighty ways to save the Israelites, the Jewish nation, through God's hand. You know, she gets married to you know, the king. And God used her in mighty ways. And then who else did I put down? King David, absolutely. We all know about King David. Man, being a teenager, you can just imagine, like, yeah, he's like washing sheep. And like, you think, okay, like, you know, he ends up being King David. But honestly, I think of him like this scrawny little kid, right? And all his friends, his brothers and everybody are making fun of him. But God's like, I'm going to use him, right? And I was thinking about this. Every one of us has that story. Every one of us here in this room. God can use us in mighty ways. We just have to say yes and amen, and where do you want me to go? That's it. And I believe, like, as we serve the Almighty God in this time and age, man, I'm believing in a revival, okay? Like, the Lord said that, I know that John talked about it not recently, but that Jesus said, if you believe, you can do far and greater things than I did. Okay, you can either take that personally or corporately. To me, I don't care. I really don't. Because honestly, if you think it personally, praise God. Keep going. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to just exalt you to keep going, right? And if it's corporately, praise God. I'm seeking both. Honestly, I'm seeking both. Man, we are living in the last days, okay? Really, honestly, think about that question. When was the last time you went to Walmart or went to King Supers or whatever, and you told the person working there, Jesus loves you? When? Ask yourself that question. When's the last time you told a stranger that Jesus loves them? And it should, like, some way have conviction in our heart. It really should. I have these coins, and I buy them from Living Water, okay? They got the Ten Commandments on one side and Salvation Scripture on the other side. They're really tiny to see, but they're amazing, okay? I got out of prison. I'm starting to work, and it's all Colossians 3:17. All things under the Lord. All things under the Lord, right? And I got these coins because when I was in the halfway house, someone gave them one to me. I was like, man, that's so good. So I start giving them to truck drivers and people at Walmart, whatever, right? Some of them, you know, like, Oh, great. You know, thank you. Whatever. You know? But they put it in their pocket. It's right? But it, in some way, find something in your heart, because sometimes it gets scary, right? Like you're intimidated. And something that was really on my heart is the fact that Satan has put that in the church. And I renounce that in Jesus' name. Well, we feel like we got to like hide our testimony, or we got to like put a blanket over us. No, it ends. And I say right now, it ends today. Like seriously, as a church, we need to take that blanket over our head, that lampstand, whatever it is that's covering us, and say, no, I want to be the light. I want to share the gospel to the nations. I want to go and just share Jesus. Right? That's what we need to do as a church. We need to wake up and be like, no, we are not weak. We are so strong. We serve God. Like, God loves me, and he wants to use all of us. All of us. There's people you can reach that I can't. Right? And there's people I can reach that you can't. But as a church, we come together, right? And we just proclaim the gospel to the nations. Jesus said, go. He didn't say, like, just, you know, go to church on Sundays and, you know, hang out and, you know, and that's good and everything. But, you know, that's, you know, no. I was on fire. I minister at this facility, okay? And it's such a blessing. God has allowed me to be a minister. I'm an ordained minister, okay? And it's amazing. I wanted it. Why? Because a chaplain saved my life, okay? When I was in prison, just a couple of things. I got like 8 minutes. When I was in prison, okay, I was worshiping the Lord like I was telling you. And I'd always like, you know, you ever get mad at God sometimes, or, you know, you're like, why? And I was like, kind of like, for several times throughout the years, I'd be like praying. I'm like, why, God? Why did you take her and not me? I don't understand. Like, I'm mad, you know? Like, I was a drug addict and doing all bad, the worldly crap. Like, why did you save me? And one day, he finally answered that question. I was worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, he said, son. I said, yes, Lord. He said, you know why I saved you? I said, no, Lord. He said, she's with me right now. She's like literally, I saw it like, she's with me right now. If I would have let you die in that car crash, you would have spent your whole life in eternal hell. I saved you to be my servant. And I was like, whoa. And I was just crying because it's like a huge weight on my shoulders, okay? I asked the Lord, the Lord shared with me, because people have asked me, who was praying for you? Who was praying for you all this time? You know what the Lord showed me? Her mom. Her mom was praying for me the whole time. She was amazing. She's a Christian woman. It's so important to share this. I was teaching on this, okay? I do Bible classes. And it was, I don't know, maybe almost a year ago, okay? And it's basically a rehabilitation center, but it's a nursing home, okay? And I don't share that lightly because it's a huge thing for me, because it's some people's last chance to meet the Lord. And several have. It's been amazing. This man comes up to me, and I was teaching on forgiveness. We went through the whole book of Matthew, okay? And Matthew chapter 6, 14 and 15 says, you must forgive, that your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And I was teaching on that. That's a commandment. It's not a choice, okay? If it's little or small, we must forgive. So backing up, I was in prison, and I'm at Delta, and there's been, it was rough, because you're hoping to go home, and you go through the halfway house, but it's a huge process, and it really sucks, and it really tests your faith for believers. Okay, because every Friday, I had to go to my caseworker, my case manager, and see what's going on. You get 3 chances, okay? If you get denied, you're done. You have to wait like 6 months, okay? I went through that. It was rough, because I got denied. I got denied You know, I know, I get it, the severity of my crime, okay? It's not an easy thing. But I cried. I went to my cell, I cried, and the Lord made me feel better, right? Because it's my, I walk by faith. It's His plan. That's a whole thing that I learned in prison. It's walking by faith. God really showed me relationship when I was in prison. I had no one else. You don't have family, right? I have a daughter. It took her 9 months to write me back. But it took, you know, that's what you learn is like that relationship, okay? So as I was in again for the halfway house, and I'm waiting, and I went to go see the case manager again. It was a little bit easier, you know, because you're walking by faith, you know, and it's just not as drastic, right? Because you've been through it before, been through the fire before. And I went to see her one day, and she's one of the rougher ones, okay? God, places those kind of people in my life. It's funny. It's fun sometimes. And she said, "You're in for parole." I'm like, "What?" Like, I'm not supposed to. When you're in prison, okay, you count days. Like, okay, I get 10 days a month. I can do this and this month, and you subtract this and add that, and just, you know, and you figure out which day you're going home, right? So I'm like, I'm not supposed to be in for, like, months. She's like, "Well, you're in." I'm like, "Whoa," you know, and I'm thinking, like, how is this going to happen? You know what I mean? So anyway, long story short, I'm sitting in the warden's office, and I'm just praising God, reciting scripture, and you know, and people are praying for me, fasting for me, families praying, fasting for me, and people are walking in to see go through this hearing, walking out and going, "Whew, she was rough. Wow, I'm probably not going home." And I'm like, "Oh, glory to God, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be amazing." You know, you're just going through it. I go into his room, and it's just important to speak this. I go into this room, and I feel the presence of God. Honest, amazing, just feeling the presence of God. I sit at this table, and the parole officer starts speaking to me. And I speak on the letter that I wrote and how remorseful and things like that I am. And she said, "I just got off the phone with her mom." And I'm like, "Bleh." You know, like, okay, what's going to happen, right? Because in those situations, the family actually has a say on if you get out or not. So she said, "I just got off the phone with her." And I'm like, "Okay." She said, "She wants me to tell you that she forgives you. And that her daughter is in heaven with Jesus. And that she wants to be in heaven with Jesus too. And she's believing Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And she said, she doesn't want you to suffer no more. And that she's demanding us to release you." And I'm crying. I'm crying and she's crying. Like just the presence of God. Like, and my case manager in the back, she's like, "Whoa, what just happened?" Like, that was real. And I was just, like, blown away. So I did. I got out. I get to the halfway house, and she actually was tracking me down and wanted to pray with me. I still haven't yet, but I'm praying, honestly, that I get to meet this woman. You know, because it's important, you know, that she know, okay? I don't take this life so lightly, okay? I believe two people had to die so I could live. Two. She had to die, and Jesus had to die. So I've always believed that I had that high calling in my life. You know, God has already done amazing things in my life, you know, and put me through different circumstances and things like that. But honestly, when it comes down to it, we are all in this together, okay? So I know that, you know, Pastor Evan and Pastor John, they want to do this testimony thing, and I praise God for that. Every single person that is of faith has a testimony, every one of us, and we should share it. We should be like letting our light shine. And I think, like, I'm running out of time, I'm sorry, but it's just so much. Like, do you know what a mezuzah is? Okay, mezuzah is about Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? I honestly believe as Christians, we should have our own. It should say, I am a spirit-filled Christian. Money can't buy me. The government can't silence me. Sickness can't stop me. Weather can't weary me. I am a child of the Most High God. I am a disciple of Jesus. Nothing can stop me. I have the Almighty God with me. Who's going to stop me? He says if nothing can buy me, nothing can weary me, nothing. That nothing can leave me. He's not going to leave me or forsake me. That all things are possible through Christ. That means that Jonathan, who was wild, chasing multiple women at times, doing drugs, can be saved. Whew! Man, that means everyone has an opportunity to be saved, right? Everybody has that. If God can do it for a wretched man like me, then God can do it to anyone. So all those people that are in your family that are like wild or crazy or whatever, right? Pray for them. Fast for them. Honestly, that's what we do. We got to fight. We got to be on our knees saying, Lord, I declare this day, Joshua 24:15 over my household, for we will serve the Lord. We have to fight. We have to speak. God has given us the power to speak his name. Jesus. You just walk into a room and say, oh, Jesus. You walk into the room, you just change the atmosphere. You walk into Walmart and you're just praising God. Woo, Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. You're changing the atmosphere. That you're fighting. All the darkness has gone out. You walk in a room and there's all sin. And you used to walk in a room and they're playing cards and they're drinking, whatever, right? And you walk in, oh, Jesus. All of a sudden, bam, the light comes on. Conviction in their heart. Oh, man, I need Jesus, right? That's who we are. We are not weak. Please understand. If you take anything from today, understand that you are not weak. That we as Christians honestly need to stand on our faith. Right? Ephesians chapter 6. In the morning, praying, I keep my suit of armor on. I'm going to this, sharpen my sword. Reading the word. Sharpen that sword. Oh, I'm going out today, Lord. It's going to be a glorious day. Woo, boy. Man, Lord, we're going to do mighty things today. Sharpen that sword. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go. Right? That's how we should be. We're going to go fight. I'm going to fight for my... Look, my dad is still living in that world. Still. But I pray for him every morning. Ezekiel 36:26. For take thou heart of stone, make it into a heart of flesh, and pour your spirit upon him. Right? Declaring that over our families. Man, I'm the only one in my family that's really serving the Lord. Only one. God has chosen me. And I love it. And I don't take it lightly. Like, none of us should, really. Like, we serve God. And what does Proverbs say? The beginning of wisdom is fearing God. We should fear God. Shouldn't be, like, taking this lightly, like we're just serving God. Just, well, yeah, it's cool. Like, no, it is cool, but at the same time, like, we need to be serious about this, right? Like, we really, really do. Like, we should have convictions in our heart. Like, in my mirror, okay, I know I'm, like, 4 minutes over, but on my mirror, okay, I have, like, it's a cool idea, okay? You take a dry erase marker, and you write scriptures that's on your heart. So you're brushing your teeth, and you're shaving your face, or putting makeup on, or whatever you do. You're reading scripture, right? Yeah, in you. Yeah, you're seeing your reflection. So good, right? I have on my mirror right now, if you went to my house, praise God in the storm, it confuses the devil. Yeah, I love that stuff. I have Jude 1:23 right next to the mirror. I love it because Jude 1:23, okay, paraphrasing, but it says snatching souls out of the fire. That's what we should be doing. Oh, you're not going. You're coming with me. You know? I mean, literally, we can't do that, but we can do that by praying for them, fighting for them, fasting for them, sharing the gospel with them, saying, I love you, right? That's the biggest thing is love. When I got out of prison and went to that big church, and they did not show me love, you know how dangerous that was? So dangerous. I wrote that too, but it was so dangerous. Why? Because they judged me for the person that's dead. They weren't judging the person that God was actually bringing up. It's so dangerous that we judge each other Right? It's so dangerous because if I didn't have the strong faith that I had, I could have walked away. And it's happened. I've seen it in front of my eyes. I've been involved in another church. This woman, she came in, very religious. The Lord showed me this church. But she stopped drinking, went to the church, got baptized in Jesus' name and all that. The women there would not accept her. She walked out. I've seen it. And now we don't know. It's curious. Like, did she go back to drinking and stuff? Like, what happened, you know? But that's real. Like, if we judge each other or, you know, show condemnation, it's so dangerous in the church. We are supposed to be a place where they meet God. And this church is on my heart, okay? I've been really praying and asking God how I can help. I'm here to help, and I want to help. And I really encourage all of us, including myself, to continue to invite people here, right? We want to grow. And I just pray that as people come here, which I did, that when people continue to come here, they feel Jesus, they feel love, right? But I just pray that, you know, as we go through this life, that we just continue as a church, that we just continue to rise up and really show our faith, right? I mean, my best friend, Antonio, I went to Mexico, and his family totally opened up the door to me. I preached down there, different churches and rehabs and stuff, and it was amazing. But just to see, okay, testimony. Can I have like 2 more minutes?
Yes.
I went down there, and their family were Catholic, okay? Their son, my best friend Antonio, was so transformed by the Holy Spirit that their parents came to Jesus. Like, left religion and came to Jesus. So beautiful. His mom's amazing. She cooks amazing tamales too, but so awesome, right? Okay, last testimony, okay? Testimonies are huge, okay? Back to testimonies. Please give me just 2 more minutes, okay? Testimonies are huge. Testimonies are important. Testimonies are the one that move God. Testimony is all through the Bible. Testimony, testimony, testimony. Prophecy, testimony. Prophecy, testimony. Testimony, prophecy. They go hand in hand, okay? We speak life into something. If somebody is sick, we come in agreement and affirming God's word, right? If somebody has a testimony, we should lift that up and exalt that, right? Like, okay, I just had an experience the last 2 days, okay? My mom was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and I never committed to it. Never. I said, they did it, not me. No, I will not speak death into anything. Friday, I get a call from my sister, and she says, Mom's in the emergency room. She couldn't move her arms. I'm like, okay. And she said, she's lost ability to walk, lost ability to use her hands. Now they're saying she can't lift her arms. She said they found a tumor on her spinal cord in her neck. I'm like, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Like, I got excited. And so I called people from all over the world, okay? I have a pastor friend, Stephen, who is in Africa, doing amazing things. A pastor, David Manoj, who's in India. He came to my house, everything. He's doing amazing things in India. I have friends in Philippines, friends in Mexico, my fellow friends here, John and Evan, other friends, Debbie, Ashley, they're amazing women that I serve with. People all over praying for my mom, okay? All come in agreement. We stand that all this, she will be healed. All her infirmities will be gone. I go to the hospital. They told me not to come in and minister yesterday. I went to the hospital. Just, you know, we're praying. Man, speaking life into it all, right? And the amazing things that I witnessed is the church coming as one. So good, right? And so last night, the Lord spoke to me because I was like getting in my car and I'm like, Lord, how much longer? Like, really, you know? It's been there all day. He goes, 1 more hour. It's like 6 o'clock. I go back in and I'm falling asleep. 7 o'clock, surgeon comes out an hour later. Boom. He comes out. He said, your mom did really good. We took the tumor out. And did some work. And she's already getting better signals in her spinal cord. So good. That's the power of God, okay? All of us coming in agreement. Matthew 18:20. When two or more gather together in my name, I'm there. So we need to be that, okay? So when we come to church, I really just ask or recommend that we all come in the same spirit. We all just leave everything out and come in and receive as one. And I'm really praying. I really recommend the book, Azusa Street Revival. It'll put fire in your butt like nothing else, honestly. Like, it does. Like, it's so good. And I really believing that we're going to have that again. I really believe that. So, Matt, I didn't say anything I wanted to write, but it's okay. because it's just, the thing that you said, John, real fast. I know we're going to have this real fast, but where was it? I just want to speak on it real fast because it's really, where is it? It was talking about that that God just wastes nothing. That, oh yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. So as we think that we are insignificant, we are not. Just understand that, okay? I have that in there. I had to find it. But Job wrote it. Like, I love the New King James. But insignificant is out of our picture. And that's what really comes down to as all, like, all the things that are in the Bible, right? All the, like, people, God, at the worldly standards, they thought they were insignificant, and God used them in mighty ways, right? So it doesn't matter if you, whatever you do in your life, you are not insignificant. Like the movie War Room, you can have a closet, and you could fight so powerfully in your own war room. Like, you could do damage to hell. Seriously, like, you could do damage. Like, I love that. Like, if I get attacked, right, I'm like, all right, Lord, I got attacked last night. Satan's getting a black eye today. Somebody's getting saved. Somebody's getting healed, or something for the kingdom is happening. Satan is going to learn not to touch Jonathan. He's going to learn, because one way or another, he keeps touching me. I keep pressing forward to bring somebody closer to God. That's how it's, you want to mess with me? You're messing with the kingdom of God, buddy. Right? That's the attitude we should have. So good. Anyway, I love you guys. You guys are amazing. And man, I could spend all day talking. I'm very long-winded, so I apologize. I'm just very zealous for the Lord. So, Lord, Father, we thank you, Father, for this day, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to come together, Lord, and just share your power, your glory, the excitement of serving you, Lord. It's amazing that we all have a mission. You know what that mission is, and I just speak life into every individual that is hearing this right now, that you will speak to them exactly what their mission is, that whatever their gift is. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the fivefold ministry, that you will bring that up in their heart, Lord, to see exactly what you want them to do. But I just pray, Lord, that we'd all just come into our prayer room and fight, Lord. Fight for our families, fight for our church, fight for our pastors, because we have a big target on us. And I just pray, Lord, Father, that we just, and each individual, just sharpen our sword, sharpen that thing, and just go out there and fight. That we take our light off, our blanket off, and let our light shine, Lord. So I really pray that, Lord, that we just come to excel the kingdom of God. Just excel it. To lift each other up, and to love each other, and to bless each other. And Lord, Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you for allowing me to be here today. It's just amazing being a part of this church, Lord. It's an honor, Lord. We thank you for this. If you want me to pray, I can pray over the food. Lord, we come to you. We thank you for this feast that you have given us, Lord. And every bite, just be love. Just take another bite of love, do another bite of love. Lord, Father, we just thank you, Lord, Father, for everything that you provide for us, Lord. We thank you, Father, for providing this food. I pray, Lord, a hedge protection of the blood of Jesus over each person. And I pray, Lord, declaring Joshua 24:15 over all our household, that all will come to know the Lord. And we're praying, Lord, that our nation will come to serve you again, to smash all the idols, and to come and serve the Lord again. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
cool. All right, a few things. Number one is, I don't know about you guys, but one of the things that hit me the most, and that's a hard one, brother, because that whole testimony is like, wow. But is that woman, the mother of the one who died. Not only because she forgave him, but guys, like that radical, relentless forgiveness, like we are called to nothing short of that type of thing, okay? And so done are the times where we're like, you know, should I forgive? And I'm having this hard time forgiving. It should be a part of our heart and our very nature because we've received the full reality of God's forgiveness. And when we receive, then we can give it. We can give what we've received. We can forgive. And I love the picture of justice and judgment, but mercy triumphs over judgment. Because, guys, I'm all about judgment, and I'm all about justice, right? Because it needs to be a part of the equation. But watch your heart with that thing. Be careful. Okay, because if he got what he deserved, or if you got everything you deserved, right? And well, when that thing was cut short and she had that mercy and that brilliant, it was way beyond forgiveness, but it was reconciliation in the heart for you, and you didn't get the whole thing that you deserved. What did it do to your heart?
Oh, man, it warmed
it. Yeah. I mean, he wept. So anyway, man, that's powerful, brother, and I thank you. I knew that we'd be super blessed by this. Now you know one of us greater, like more, right? You know Jonathan more. Just imagine how we get to know each other as more of us share, and you know, even if they're not up here, you know, we're sharing more conversations and we're taking time to get to know each other. So anyway, as you know him more, I would like to invite you to come up if you do want him to pray for you, minister to you, because that's how it works. We see something in a brother or sister that's strong, and maybe we're weak in an area, right? Or we saw a weakness and God flipped it. So hey, brother, pray for me in that area. You know, forgiveness or shame. Right? Or guilt. My gosh, the guilt, man. He obliterated that thing.